Welcome to AUSA's Army Matters podcast, focusing on what's important to the total Army community. Today's episode is brought to you by GEICO. This Military Appreciation Month, GEICO would like to thank all current and retired military personnel. As a member of AUSA, you could qualify for a special discount. It's GEICO's way of saying thanks for all you do.
Welcome to a special edition of AUSA's Army Matters podcast from the Association of the United States Army. I am Nzinga Curry, Director of AUSA's Education and Programs, and I am joined by my co-host, Lieutenant Colonel Brittany Lloyd, an AUSA Army Fellow. Today is a special edition episode with the Army Corps of Engineers. We will have a discussion about how they support the U.S. Army and our nation.
Mrs. Curry, the Army Corps of Engineers not only operates all around the United States, but also globally. With us today is the Commander of the Corps of Engineers, Lieutenant General Scott Spellman, to educate and inform our listeners on how far-reaching their support and expertise spans around the world.
General Spellman, thank you so much for joining us today. I would love it if you would take a little bit of time to share a bit about yourself as well as your career.
Well, Ms. Curry and Colonel Lloyd, first of all, thanks so much for having me today. And Colonel Lloyd, we look forward to you joining our team here later on this summer. First, I want to say how honored I am to command the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. This is an amazing organization, a very unique corner of the United States Army, and it goes without saying, being the 55th Chief of Engineers, it's the honor of a lifetime for me, and it's very humbling. Just a little bit about myself. I'm a native of the great state of New Jersey, very happily married. I have three great children who are all grown and successful in their own professional careers now. Two sons, a biochemist and a chemical engineer, and I have a daughter who's an opera singer. I went to the Academy at West Point, commissioned as an engineer officer 35 years ago, part of the great class of 1986. And then later on in my career, the Army gave me the opportunity to go to graduate school at the University of Illinois, Champaign-Urbana. And there I was able to complete my master's in civil engineering. And frankly, been proud to serve the nation as an engineer ever since. I've had a wide variety of command and staff assignments. I won't go into all those, but I think the most rewarding ones I've had have been with our deployed soldiers. So Operation Desert Shield, Desert Storm. I had the privilege to serve as a battalion commander in Iraq, and then later on as a brigade commander in Afghanistan. Again, just serving with exceptional soldiers and leaders along the way. And today, I still get to serve with great soldiers, but I'm doubly blessed in that I get to serve with some of the nation's best engineers and scientists in the Army Corps of Engineers. I look forward to talking more about them today, our people.
Excellent. And I thank you so much for your service, your continued service, and you have had a remarkable career. So I am excited about this conversation. So you have spent the last couple of years at the Corps of Engineers headquarters as the deputy commander for civil and emergency operations, but you are now the commander as stated. And so I understand the Corps support military programs as well as civil works, but they do a lot more than that. So I would love for you to take a minute and share the various missions that the Corps of Engineers is responsible of.
So as I said, we are an extremely unique organization with the Army, but our mission, it really goes beyond the Army. And in many cases, it goes even beyond the Department of Defense. So we are the federal government's lead public works and engineering support agency. One of the things that I would just highlight about our civil works and military programs mission is the depth and breadth involved in each of those respective areas. We say our vision in the Army Corps of Engineers is to engineer solutions for our nation's toughest challenges. And when we say that, we really do mean the entire nation. I always tell the story. Before he departed last January, Secretary McCarthy, Secretary of the Army at the time, he pulled me aside. This is in January, and pulled me aside in the Pentagon. And he said, Scott, you've been at this a couple of months now in command. What do you see as your greatest challenge? And what do you see as your greatest opportunity? And I told him it was one and the same. It's our workload today in the Corps. And over the past few decades, we have typically been a $20 to $22 billion annual business across all the work that we do for the Army and the federal government. And last year, we did $40 billion worth of work. That's double the amount. And currently, we have $63 billion worth of projects. That's money in the bank, ready to go on projects that we're working our way through. And so that's an incredible challenge and opportunity. So we're a project-funded organization. That means I can hire as many engineers and project managers as I need to get that work done. but I can't bring on any additional colonels or generals or senior executives to staff or oversee the work. So the opportunities that we have really rest in streamlining our delivery model. So delegating decisions to the field where we have expertise, better utilizing technology to get better performance, and then, of course, using more contractors and relying on our solid partnerships with the United States engineering industry, which is fabulous. But that just helps us put these important projects in the ground quicker. So it is a challenge, but I'm excited. Much of this change is underway and much more of that is to come. And we are committed to winning. And I have defined winning for the Army Corps of Engineers for General McConville as finishing quality projects on time, within budget, safely. And I think I would just also share that the Corps of Engineers, we do not do anything alone. We don't do anything by ourselves. We rely heavily on strong relationships with our partners in order to deliver these projects and these engineering solutions. We partner at every level, including the national level. So we have a lot of teammates over at the Department of Homeland Security, Environmental Protection Agency, Federal Emergency Management Agency, Veterans Affairs, and of course, including Department of Defense. During President Biden's climate change summit last month, I just want to mention Department of Defense announced its efforts to assess climate change at over 5,000 locations around the world. This is another huge area for us. And DOD's assessment, they were going to use what they called the Defense Climate Change Assessment Tool, or the DCAT. Well, we developed that. We have been incorporating climate change into our Civil Works program for the past 12 years. So this is not new to us. So we were able to adapt that tool to use for DOD installations, and really exciting to see some of the work coming out of that. And then I would also tell you that our scientists and our engineers in our research and development focus area, they are working on state-of-the-art projects. And these range from laser printing concrete buildings, dredging our waterways with robotic mini submersibles, creating blast-resistant super materials, and that's just to name a few of the things that we're working on. And it's an amazing team. It's also leveraging some of the largest computing capacity in the nation to make the world of tomorrow a reality today.
That is really impressive. And I love how you use the challenges, or I should say, took the challenges and turned them into opportunities. And you continue to foster the strong relationships you spoke about with the different partners in order to deliver solutions. And I don't expect anything less from the Army. So I'm so glad you highlighted that information. So the Engineer Research and Development Center has had many exciting and cutting-edge projects. I would love to hear a little bit more about that, if you don't mind.
Absolutely. First, a general comment about our research and development program. It is amazing, and we are blessed with many talented people, and that's an understatement. They do so much with so little, and one of my top priorities is to get more investment into R&D so we can do even more for the nation. The Corps of Engineers, we are on the front line of innovation across the entire enterprise for the Army. And when I talked Civil Works and Mil programs a moment ago, I talked about the depth and breadth of our missions, but nowhere is that depth and breadth more apparent than our research and development mission area. So our Engineering Research and Development Center, we call it ERDC. ERDC is headquartered in Vicksburg, Mississippi, and it is really at the forefront of all of these research efforts. This team, they basically run the Disney World of the engineering research community, and they are out there sharpening the cutting edge of engineer design and technology each and every day. And I believe that innovation comes not only from those researchers and scientists, but it also comes from the folks of our engineers out on the front lines, or our boots on the ground, right? The folks that are delivering these projects each and every day. And that's one of the lines of effort in our new Army Corps of Engineers campaign plan. We call it the Revolutionize line of effort. And I am just encouraging and driving every member of our entire team to show up each and every day to look for innovative ways where we can fundamentally change the Army Corps of Engineers for the better. And we're demonstrating that now across a number of our projects. But you asked for a few examples. So let me just pick a few from a long list of things that we're working on for the nation. So let me start out with nutrient pollution and harmful algal blooms, right? They're in the news every summer. They cost the nation an estimated $1 billion each year, just due to the harmful impacts they have on tourism, on health, on commerce, and our ecosystems. So we have a program called the Harmful Algal Bloom Interception, Treatment, and Transformation System. We call it HABITATS. It's a research project. What it essentially is, it's a scalable capability to remove algae from the water and the nutrients that feed it, while simultaneously we detoxify it and recover resources from the resulting biomass. So effort that has a very, very promising start down in Lake Okeechobee in Florida, and we've been asked to apply that technology on other water bodies around the country. So very exciting. The second one, we have a 53-year-old permafrost tunnel research facility and it's located in Fox, Alaska. And what this facility does, it provides our researchers, our scientists, and students. It's a very unique source of data for them. It's a natural laboratory. It illuminates over 45,000 years of detail about the soil, the organics in it, the bacteria in there, and even bones that have been frozen in place. And I would tell you that research from this facility has helped inform the U.S. Army's Arctic strategy, which was just released this past March. I'll give you a couple more. Engineering with Nature. This is an initiative that's really at a pivotal moment in the history of civil engineering. And we have a Dr. Todd Bridges, who works at ERDC, who is a visionary on this front. He sees trees as infrastructure, and he realizes that we can build large-scale infrastructure projects in harmony with nature and actually multiply the economic, the social, and environmental benefits these projects offer. So it's just not always steel and concrete. We're working hard to engineer with nature as well. And then one last one. Over the past year, our Research and Development Center researchers have collaborated with a Boston base. It's called Sea Machines. And with Sea Machines, we created a semi-autonomous inland survey vessel. And what that does, it gives surveyors the ability to conduct survey missions with a limited crew, either during emergencies or during bad weather, or even as we saw during the recent COVID-19 pandemic, where it's not safe to send a large number of people out on manned vessels. So it also improves our efficiency, and we're able today to survey twice as much of the area as we were with manned vessels. So that's all exciting. I'll just end by saying that to be truly innovative, we have to partner and collaborate outside of the Corps of Engineers. So it's this synergy, right, that drives our innovation. So partnerships are key to solving our nation's science, technology, and engineering challenges, and collaboration with industry and academia is absolutely critical to that effort. And so we've got to focus on our customers' needs as we develop technologies through R&D, collaboration, and commercialization. And I will tell you, I'm just extremely excited about all the great work going on.
Sure, your excitement is understandable. All the things that you mentioned and talked about, which I'm sure just barely scratched the surface of just the R&D center alone, are amazing, innovative, like you said, initiatives that are definitely going to move not only the Army Corps of Engineers, but our nation forward into the technology-driven future that we're all facing. And so I'm very excited to join the team and learn more about it.
Hey, everyone. We hope you're enjoying the show. We'd like to take a moment to thank GEICO for making this episode possible. This Military Appreciation Month, GEICO would like to thank all current and retired military personnel. As a member of AUSA, you could qualify for a special discount. It's GEICO's way of saying, thanks for all you do.
So you'd mentioned, sir, talking about COVID-19 and some of the challenges that the Army and the world had to deal with that. And I know that the Corps played a huge role in the pandemic from the start. What are some of the most challenging and then also rewarding efforts that your team faced in assisting with that effort, sir?
Brittany, you're exactly right. And I think I speak for everyone to say this past year has been incredibly challenging for our workforce. And that would be an understatement. But on the same token, it's also been incredibly rewarding, right? So I'm immensely proud of the Army Corps of Engineers, all our efforts in responding to COVID-19, and in a way that we continue to support the national response today. It's not over. So as this crisis started to unfold in February and March of last year, we were able to respond quickly, really because of the relationships we have already built with state and local leaders, as well as our regional FEMA counterparts. I mean, we work with these people every day. So working with those partners, we were able to quickly build 38 what we called alternate care facilities, or ACFs. We built those across the country, and it opened up about 16,000 bed spaces for patients, some for COVID care, some for non-COVID care, whatever the medical facility or the state was requesting. And then as the nation shifted, you know, from the initial emergency response to national vaccine delivery efforts, and then really speeding up getting the vaccine to Americans, our support had to change as well, had to shift as well. And then we were able to provide FEMA with design concepts for community mass vaccination centers. And we were asked to design facilities that could support anything from 250 vaccinations a day to 6,000 vaccinations per day. And then on top of that, we have been also providing facility power assessments where states were setting up their own vaccination centers. We sent out safety officers and generally staff subject matter experts on a wide range of issues. And today we're supporting 12 ongoing FEMA mission assignments in this area. We've already completed 28 of those mission assignments for the vaccination effort. Now that the vaccine is available to all Americans starting at the age of 12, we're extremely proud to have played a role in supporting this overall effort.
So that's amazing. And thank you for all the work that your team has done with this initiative. But in line with national response efforts, their emergency operations are also kind of a big deal. They include both response and preparedness. And what are some of the resources that the Corps of Engineers has as we near hurricane season and some other natural disasters that have been riveting the United States?
That's a very timely question, as our hurricane season officially begins in June 1st, about 3 weeks from now. So I'll just start out with last year. Last year, we had a record storm season in the Gulf of Mexico, especially within the state of Louisiana, where we had a number of named storms come through. So just to put things in perspective for you, in 2020, the Corps of Engineers responded to 28 different disasters. That included 10 hurricanes, 9 major floods, 3 wildfires out west, and then several severe weather events. And we've really had a revolution in some key areas of our disaster response efforts. And one key area in particular that I want to mention is our Blue Roof program. And then for our listeners who don't know what the Blue Roof program is, it's one of the things we do in support of FEMA under the National Response Framework. We manage it. And what it does, it provides homeowners in disaster areas where we go in and we'll put on a fiber reinforced blue sheet to cover their damaged roof. And what that allows, it allows the homeowners to stay at home and not fill up hotels and stay at home while they work through their personal insurance to recover any damages to their homes. And typically on a storm season, we'll go in and it could be anywhere from 4,000 to 5,000 roofs on a given storm. I will tell you, in Louisiana last year, we hung over 10,000 roofs in the wake of just Hurricanes Delta and Laura. And we put those up in record time, just utilizing some new technology. And then I do need to tell you that our disaster response efforts go well beyond just hurricane response. And one of the missions we provide is temporary emergency power. And our listeners may recall the record winter storm that we had in Texas earlier this year. And we responded with our 249th Prime Power Battalion. So this is the Army's only prime power unit. It's one of a kind, and it is part of the Army Corps of Engineers. And we were able to deploy part of that battalion to go down to help the state of Texas recover from that storm. But we also did a few other things. So in Texas and Oklahoma, we operate and maintain a number of hydropower projects. And so the energy is managed for us by the Department of Energy, the Southwestern Power Marketing Administration. But our projects are located within their grid, and we are able to also provide peaking power to the grid to help those communities recover from the losses that they were experiencing during that storm. I will tell you that, just broadening out a bit, nationwide, our hydropower program, we have a total of 356 hydroelectric generators on rivers across the country. Those produce more than 23,000 megawatts of capacity. So think about that. One out of every 4 megawatts of hydropower production in the United States is produced by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. And just like everything else, our emergency response, we don't do this by ourselves. It's performed in partnership with other federal agencies and great state and local governments, contractors, as well as a number of industries that work with us as one team.
Very impressive. And I can personally say, we have a family in Panama City, Florida, that we hit a couple of years ago. We thank you so much for your team's service and beyond. So you provided a wealth of information, but before we conclude, I would like to know, are there any final thoughts or anything else you want to discuss and share with our listeners?
Ms. Curry, I'll just say I walked through Panama City and Mexico Beach following those storms, and just all the best for your family. And I'm glad that they're all safe. Yeah, so just a couple of things I would highlight before wrapping up. Just with the renewed focus on infrastructure within the new administration, I just want everyone to know they can count on the Army Corps of Engineers being on the front lines. I will just go into a little bit of detail on how the American Jobs Plan that's in the media, how that might impact the Corps of Engineers and our shared responsibilities with the engineering and construction industry. And I can't get into specifics about numbers. Obviously, that's going to be the subject of much congressional debate. But I think it's valuable just to share with you how we are thinking strategically as this bill is working its way through the halls of Congress, especially as many of these areas will touch, you know, every American's daily lives. And so the first area I would highlight is fixing highways, rebuilding bridges, and upgrading ports, airports, and transit systems. And, you know, 1 in 5 miles of highways and major roads are in poor condition in the United States, as well as 45,000 bridges. So we've got a number of infrastructure challenges out there. And the Army Corps of Engineers and our industry partners, we are uniquely positioned to support this monumental and critical effort, which just isn't to fix this infrastructure, but we want to make sure we fix them right. And we want our Americans to have high quality infrastructure within predictable schedule and budget constraints. So that's the first one. The second one I would just talk about is the delivery of clean drinking water, a renewed electric grid, and high speed broadband to all Americans. And again, another worthy goal. And the Corps and our industry partners, again, we're committed to providing engineering solutions for the nation's toughest of challenges, and there's no shortage in those three areas. The Corps, we manage thousands of miles of inland waterways across the country. And you heard me mention before, we're one of the largest hydropower providers across the country with the water behind our dams and reservoirs. And this is part of our commitment for those projects to provide safe, clean, and economical power and water for the nation. And we and our partners are also increasingly involved in monitoring and remedying the growing contaminants in our drinking water systems, ensuring that Americans have access to clean water. And then third, just the area that we've talked about already, investing in R&D, research and development, and just revitalizing manufacturing and small businesses and training Americans for the jobs of the future. So USACE is a Department of Defense and national leader in studying and incorporating climate resiliency, as I mentioned, into our engineering and construction mission. And we certainly want to work with industry and work with academia to make sure we've got the right STEM workforce for the future. And then I think I'll just end with just a little bit of history. You know, Army engineers, we have played a crucial role in the growth of our nation ever since we were a very young republic, right? We were there in the beginning, surveying routes for canals and railroads out west, and then serving as explorers, surveyors, and map makers, opening up the American West and the rest of the country. So for the past 245 years, we'd like to say that we've been delivering vital engineering solutions to the nation to secure our nation, energize our economy, and reduce risk from disasters. And I'll just say going forward, we have a lot of exciting work ahead of us. And with your help, we will continue to engineer solutions for the nation's toughest challenges for another 245 years. And just want to say thanks again for this opportunity to speak with everyone today.
And I thank you, General Spellman. I thank you so much for joining us. I thank you for educating our listeners about the Corps. I have to say, we started off stating that the Corps support military programs, civil work, as well as other initiatives. But you have touched on just a few, which shows just how much the Corps of Engineers is doing. And for that, we truly, truly thank you.
To all our listeners, thanks for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to the Army Matters podcast on iTunes and everywhere podcasts are found. The Army Matters podcast series is brought to you by the Association of the United States Army, the U.S. Army's professional association, member-supported, Army-connected. Visit us at AUSA.org for more information or to become a member. Your membership helps AUSA continue to carry out its mission to educate, inform, and connect with the total Army, our industry partners, and our supporters of a strong national defense. For questions or to provide topic recommendations, email us at podcast@AUSA.org. Have a great Army Day. Pua.